we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate nirvanas that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma, I am heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiampi tatiampi salaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I'm just in one of those moments of gratitude for being one of those turtles that came up in the inner tube.
Came up into the gold ring.
Yeah. A couple things happened. One of the things I'm just particularly grateful for is the whole sort of discovery of the mentor that we've been involved in. Two things happened in the last couple days. One was that in the course of a day yesterday, I had this moment of just complete unconsciousness. And it was just interesting to watch what conditioning wanted to do with that. You know, essentially negate my entire life. And I got caught in it for a while, and I just said to the mentor, please help me look at this through your eyes. And what a different perspective. It just became a really helpful thing to see.
So what would be, has been in the past, maybe traditionally an occasion for self-hate to just come in and just, you know, ruin the day, to just have feeling gratitude for the presence of the, and a relationship that's built with the mentor, that to be able to see that experience through the eyes of the mentor.
Yeah, and to have that perspective, that whatever that is, right there.
Right there.
And then to have that perspective and to see and to have the valuable seeing that happens from that perspective, and that's all that happens from that perspective is the valuable seeing. It's just very potent.
Very.
And then the other piece of it was, and again, it felt like the mentor giving me some information. So there's a letter I have to write to, I'm a secretary of an organization, we send out a fundraising letter, and so funds have been coming in. And so I have to write a thank you letter. And so I was going to write it this weekend, and some things came up that took a lot of time. And so where I could have gone with that was, oh God, I know I don't have time to write this. And what came in was, sit down at your computer on Sunday morning and it'll just come. So I sat down on my computer this morning and it just came. And, you know, it was just so clear that if I just trusted, it would come. And in fact, what came out, it just gave me goosebumps, you know. And I'm really excited now to send this letter out because I like it so much. Because it came from gratitude, and it, for me anyway, it expresses such gratitude that I can't wait to send it to people and to include them in that spirit of gratitude. So it ended up being this incredibly energizing experience that took about half an hour.
Wow. I was struck by a couple of things. One is, I think we've been talking the last couple of days about life just expressing itself through us.
Exactly.
And it sounds like you just really had an experience of that.
Right.
And the other thing, the mentor, the relationship with the mentor, you know, to just, you mentioned that it was just right there. And just looking at how in the beginning that relationship, you know, it's like maybe a little, you know, a few hours later, you'll remember, oh, there's the mentor, you know, I could ask the mentor. And then as that relationship builds and it just becomes more intimate, there's that, there is a mentor right there at all times.
Yeah, and you know, we've always had something to turn to. Mm-hmm. I mean, we always know we can turn our attention or we can turn, you know, sort of drop conditioning, but I just find that the mentor, mm-hmm. you know, very helpful. And there's a kind of funny concreteness to it or something that just makes it accessible in a way that I don't recall experiencing quite like that before.
So it's a whole new experience.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I feel like I'm experiencing some backlash a little bit from recent conversations. Actually, the last month we've had, there's been a number of conversations we've had that have really feels like made clear what Zen is and what is required to live from that place. And I mean, there's a lot of expansion possibility in that. And conditioning has been on this campaign throughout the whole thing of trying to make me feel bad about myself, basically. Mm-hmm. So whenever anything is talked about, it's, you know, it's twist everything into something to feel bad about. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because that alone, apart from any of the content that or any of the processes that we were discussing, has been really, really helpful because there's been a lot of movement there, and I've really seen a lot about it. And yesterday was less so than some of the other days, but it was still an occasion for conditioning to do that. Yeah, there are things in it that conditioning could do, and I had kind of an amazing day of just sort of cruising through, and just I was practicing relaxing all day, which is my very favorite thing, just about, and just relaxing my body and my forehead, and just letting everything just kind of wash over and not needing to hold on to any thoughts or anything that was said, but just allowing it to wash over and just trust that whatever will be needed will stick and will show up whenever it needs to. And not taking any of it personally, and it was great. And then last night, I woke up a bunch of times last night, which is pretty typical, but I woke up with just like kind of a form of self-hate kind of doing things to me, and anyway, this morning experienced backlash over that.
Yeah, it sounds pretty like something you can really count on. I mean, you had that great practice day yesterday. It sounds like with really turning your attention to relaxing and to not taking it personally. And prior to that, there had been this period of just, you know, it sounds like kind of a lot of the information that was coming through was, there was some taking it personally. And then practicing yesterday of just being in that place of relaxation, and then last night having self-hate just come up. And
yeah, and I think that's true. And I think the backlash is even, I mean, it's attempting to address something that's really, you know, way bigger than that, which is the information that's been coming in about what is needed in terms of practice for each of us, and the place that is there for each of us to attempt to step into. And if the basic message in it is, you can't do it. You know, if you don't have it, you can't do it. It's not possible for you. You know, you're a failure, give up, all that kind of stuff. And, of course, you know, obviously, that, or it seems so anyway, that is in response to the possibility that actually could happen. Because that's always the way it goes. You know, if it actually was true that that was not possible for me, conditioning would just be very quiet. I'd make the whole thing and have me go, oh yeah, I can do that, and then just kind of completely miss the point. Anyway, that's how it seems to usually happen. So I have that idea, but anyway, still, yeah, it's a real kind of tug of war right now over who has the body and who has the mind.
Mm-hmm. So just in that place of a tug of war, you know, what comes up is just before there's like a breakthrough, you know, it's just like that someone knows there's not going to be a giving up, and yet You know, there's this condition is just kind of hammering.
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually didn't say that about somebody knows that there's not going to be a giving up. But I think you're right. I think there's, I think there's a good projection. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it really does seem kind of, I don't know, actually.
It's a little believable.
I guess you could, that probably is the best way to say it, a little believable. But it does seem like that. It's like, geez, I just don't know. But, the other thing I'm looking at is, this whole thing, none of this is up to me, really, at all. I don't have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I really had a big experience that three or four mornings ago, I was exercising early in the morning, and it's one that I can't say it any other words than we always say it, and we always say it over and over again, but just in a way that I had never really experienced before, how little I have to do with a life that is, quote, mine,
mm-hmm.
even on a practice level,
mm-hmm.
that it feels like it's just karma.
Mm-hmm.
Not the karma in the way, often we use the word karma as in the equivalent of egocentric karma condition,
mm-hmm.
but more like in cause and effect, and how, it's all happening, like the awareness is not mine.
Mm-hmm.
The insights that happen are not mine. I don't cause them to happen. The resistance is not mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the thing that that the little weapon I was using yesterday, because a condition would say something like, point out something to feel bad about, I say, you really have to talk to life about that. Because I don't really do that. That's life doing that. Even like on the level of life not seeing things that need to be seen, or not paying attention in ways that could seem like a Zen way of paying attention to it.
Uh-huh.
Those kind of things. Well, I don't have to do that. That's just life. Life is not paying attention. Which seems really true, actually.
Uh-huh.
It's all life. It's not. There isn't anything that's separate from life.
Uh-huh.
And that was just really handy yesterday. It's like, no, I don't even do it. So, you guys are going to have to do it. Which left me in a place of just being able to relax and just receive from what was there.
What's coming up for me is that place too, not my will, but thy will, to just, it's really not something that we have a whole lot of control over, just letting life live through us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it remains kind of a mystery to me about it doesn't really. I was going to say what role, I in quotes,
mm-hmm.
have to play, but I think it's just I in quotes is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
There is no I.
Mm-hmm.
I keep backing up, and it keeps on ending up in that place where there, like, this is nothing that I experience has anything to do with with me, in quotes,
mm-hmm.
with anything that is anything other than itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense for me to take pieces of that to feel, to take personally or feel good about also,
mm-hmm.
To create this something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just doing it on its own.
Just doing it on its own, and yesterday you were able to like stand back a bit, it sounds like, and watch it do it on its own.
Yeah, and it's funny because even that standing back and watching it is not me. That's it doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It just every time to try to back it up, it always ends up in that same place.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going someplace, but only it knows where it's going. If it does know where it's going,
huh.
But anyway. Very abstract.
So just keep being in that place of backing up and backing up and backing up until with no idea where it's going.
Yeah. So the reason I didn't imagine I would say anything until I was, we turned around and I realized, this is an opportunity to get out of the backlash that's happening a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it would like to get that too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. It feels like the energy's moving a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Taking the opportunity to be with Sangha and,
mm-hmm.
and just counteract that backlash a little bit.
Yeah, get out of the story.
Get out of the story. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. happy about having some experience that I would describe in a similar way. And as I'm about to go off into the whatever's out there.
One of those field trips.
mobile workshop. And the backlash in part has taken the form of, there's been so much teaching. It's just been, we've had some really special opportunities to look at our practice as Zen and to look, it feels like, at deeper and deeper levels of practice. And the is you're going to go out and lose it all. There isn't going to be all this. Feels like momentum and inspiration is you get outside the gate and it'll evaporate. Doesn't use any of that language, but I think that's the essential thread. And well, one thing I was, if anybody, I know that a lot of other folks have been out there recently, and if anybody has tips on ways to, in particular, stay on track, I'm wide open to receiving them. But it feels mostly like it's about to be a really big workshop and an opportunity to really practice the ways of seeing, practice the places of looking that have been being pointed at.
So seeing the opportunity, actually, and in a way, maybe the perfection of having these days of just really having an opportunity to be, know or learn or be exposed a little bit more to what Zen is, and to then now have the chance to go out and take that with you, and to really watch, and also being open this morning to having any feedback from anybody that of how to take
traveling tips.
traveling tips.
Yeah, and the thing I realized about, I came to Zen, not to this practice initially, because of all the things that Zen is. And it felt, it felt recently like, in a way, being reminded of that. And because my heart was drawn to it, the moment I first read three pages of the first book I read about Zen, and it still is, and so that all sort of got re-energized.
So it sounds like it spoke to your heart, and to hear what was shared, and I don't know, the image that comes up to me is I've had those occasions where I feel like I come back to true north, you know, just like, oh yeah, that's right, that's what my heart wants, that's the direction I'm headed in.
Yeah, as I was saying that, I think the mentor dropped in a little thought that the place I'm going probably has sitting centers nearby, and I might just check into that while I'm down. As well as for the way to help me stay grounded.
That's great. As I was going to ask if there was anything that had come to you as ways to
just
support yourself. So,
well, I'm listening to the radio show and listening to the archives and all those amazing recordings that we've been accumulating, as well as talking to the mentor nonstop.
Taking the mentor.
Or listening to the mentor nonstop.
Thank you.
It feels like what I've been looking at is sort of related to what other people have been talking about, and I've been looking at is conditioning, and also mentoring, and what I've been seeing is that something will arise. Often it arises as something to do, but something presents itself as an opportunity, a doing, as something to attend to, and And it's like, seems like fairly immediately after it does, then the stories around it begin. You know, well, I don't know, maybe that's not such a good idea, maybe, wonder which part of you is that. I mean, is that coming from center, or is that, you know, and maybe you should just wait a while and see, and, you know, but it just, you know, there's this whole noodling thing that goes on around it, you know, rather than just, oh, okay, you know. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, and it's clearly conditioning doing all that, and I recognize how its impulse, conditioning's impulse is to confuse, to back off, to dilute, mm-hmm. to, you know, to the point where I don't even know if that thing that arose originally, where did it come? You know, I mean, it's like lost in mm-hmm. the
kind of lose that first yeah. impetus to, mm-hmm. it sounds like that, the heart impulse maybe to go with what's offered.
Yeah, I mean, it's like somebody says, I think so, because somebody gets so mired mm-hmm. that trying to look at it back through the mire, you know, mm-hmm. I can't even tell where it came from. I go, well, maybe it's right. Maybe that was just, you know, conditioning. And so actually on one example of that, I actually was talking to the mentor and saying, you know, what do you think about this? You know, am I off base here, or, you know, or is that something, is that a good thing to be doing? Or, and the mentor just says, well, you know, why don't you try it and see? Why don't you just do it and watch what arises, and maybe it will be clearer, you know? I mean, it's such a, you know, here's this whole pile of stuff over here from conditioning about, well, maybe yes, and maybe that, and you think about that, and did you do that? And the mentor just says, well, why don't you do it and see? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, you know, and maybe you'll find out, no, this isn't such a good thing, or maybe you'll find out, wow, this is terrific, or maybe it's just something to do, but you won't know unless you do it.
It's interesting, the juxtaposition between the two.
Yeah.
Of just that simplicity of trying yeah. and see versus
yeah.
the whole
yeah.
trying to figure out.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, every now and then I have a few things that the mentor has said on my recording that's like I want to write down the number where it is, because it's like I want to be able to go back there all the time. And the other night I was kind of blown away by what I call her she, I don't know if it says, I said, and it was just along the lines of, well, it wasn't along the lines of, it was exactly, you know, I think what you can do, we can do, is set the intention to pay attention to everything and be honest about what we see. Mm-hmm. And she says, and I think that's about as good as it gets. And she went on to say, and she says, and it's possible. Mm-hmm. It's possible for you to do that. Mm-hmm. And she said, and it's extraordinary for you to do that.
Mm-hmm. It's possible and it's extraordinary to just pay attention and to be honest with what you see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I'm committed to practicing, mm-hmm. you know, because a lot of times I pay attention, and I see something, and then I go, well, yeah, but, yeah, I know, mm-hmm. but I want to do, I want to do this,
yeah.
you know, but to just, to have that be what I do, is to pay attention, mm-hmm. and then be honest with me mm-hmm. and other people about what arises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, much like what we was being spoken to the last couple of days, of just, you know, really mm-hmm. watching the process at work mm-hmm. and acknowledging that and
yeah.
getting to different layers.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, going back to the, so if something arises and I choose to do it and pay attention to doing it, then if somewhere along the line I go, oh, this doesn't, mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. doesn't feel good, and mm-hmm. then to be honest and say, well, then I think I better stop, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. or rather than, well, I know, but I started, so I think I'll just, you know, mm-hmm. go ahead and mm-hmm. do it mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah. That willingness to just really pay attention, mm-hmm. to realize when something is not supporting the being.
Yeah.
June.
Oh, I'm saying again. And that trapped feeling, which is a very huge piece of karma for me, is feeling trapped. And blessedly, was not completely, wasn't completely identified, but there was in that place of some degree of being able to observe it. And woke up this morning into energy and commitment and well-being and knowing that the pantry is the Buddha, the bell is the Buddha, the discourse is the Buddha, this is the Buddha.
So just really seeing the incredible cruelty of the system, and it just sounds like from what people have been sharing this morning, that's been just a universal experience of backlash in the face of just some incredible, valuable information that was presented, and yet and just seeing the karma in that of this person that's just so wanted to do it right. So, and the purity of that intention, and then to wake up this morning and to actually, it sounds like, just be in touch with the heart of that person without the cruelty of the system, to just really see, to take that in, to be able to see this morning through the eyes of the Buddha in the pikantri, in the bell, in this person. It just sounds like a beautiful example of trusting life.
I'm not consciously aware of trusting life. I'm aware of feeling like it's a gift.
It's a gift. That awareness this morning is a gift. Thank you.
place of deep depression, where the place that the energy moves to is it can feel this. It's the opposite. It's the pendulum swings. Mm-hmm. It's almost, well, I can say it's almost like antidepressant for trauma. But the pendulum swings to high energy. Mm-hmm. And it used before practice, and for a long time in practice, the pendulum swing would feel like
it's a bigger place.
Fear.
A fear place?
Free.
A freer place. A freer place. The experience that you had this morning, you see that more as a gift, where it sounds like you're just aware of a familiar process of the depression and then swinging to the other side. And but there was no freedom in that. It was kind of a resistance to what was happening. Even it sounds like when it went to the other side, it was like, well, what the heck is happening now? And then this morning, having that awareness as you woke and just being able to experience as a gift.
Just got it. It overplayed its hand recently. That was not a good time to do that to me after yesterday's.
It overplayed its hand. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it does really stupid things.
Yeah.
So last night was one of those things. Its timing was way off.
Its timing was way off.
And that's a gratitude thing. Right there.
It versus them. And it's not even subtle. You know, it's like a... it interprets everything as in such a way that the experience that this person has cannot be anything other than victimized. Mm-hmm. And it projects intentionality onto it, like this is being done intentionally. Mm-hmm. And it's really alarming how it can do that. But at the same time, it's helpful to have it come in that kind of way, mm-hmm. because I watch what it does. It transforms the interconnectedness that I feel, love, you know, like I'm walking along, everything's beautiful, and it just transforms it into like this really isolated, hateful kind of place where mm-hmm. it's like, and it uses, it, I watch it, it's got this little ace of the sleeve of Alex. And what it says is, they're going to go too far, and I'm going to play this card. You know, like the card of Alex. You know, it's got me, and it's like the energy of all this, you know, goodness, this inspiration, this, and it's going to withhold somehow. You know, it's like it's going to throw it away into a cave and keep it there, and so that no one else can get to it. Huh. You know, it's like that, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but it's like this Daffy Duck cartoon where he has this trick, but he can only do it once because it ends up blowing him up. You know, it's this amazing trick that he's going to beat Bugs Bunny with, you know, where he takes some nitroglycerin, all these explosives, drinks it, and drops a match down his throat. And it's a, you know, it's ludicrous because it is an amazing trick. He blows himself up. But it's pointless. It's so pointless. But that's what it kind of like, it glamorizes that kind of thing. It's, I know it's totally absurd. As I'm saying it, but it's, I'm just really becoming aware of how it's using the energy of like what I have to offer the world as a weapon, almost like it takes the form of depression. Like I'll shut down. Mm-hmm. I won't participate. I won't. I can't even say anything because it's got me mm-hmm. over here. But it's. And I'm just watching the structure build up, and I watch how I'm not buying it. And the opposite behavior toward that is to actually participate. It's the way to work with that. Mm-hmm. It's like it starts to build up over here, mm-hmm. and I need to be just as vigilant with you know the nail pullers mm-hmm. and the you know the crowbar and prying it down as it's trying to pull it up. Mm-hmm. And the only way to pry it down is, it's almost funny, it's almost like I'm not even focused on dealing with it. It's almost like I'm building up something else over here. It's almost like I'm putting my energy towards something that's actually beneficial rather than focusing on whatever little thing that is trying mm-hmm. to build up.
Yeah, this, it's that thing of whatever it's bringing up that, you know, telling us to go in the opposite direction.
Literally.
You know, literally, that, yes. you know. How it wants to use that package we call Alex and all that he has to give the world, and turn it as you know as something and that would feel victimized and separate and you know small and
see it lures me into thinking that this is a great trick just like Daffy Duck
right
you know, it's like this is the best.
Somehow, yeah, kind of
this
like...
This is like a powerful position.
Right, you know? Exactly. Like, I'll show them. I'll take everything I have. And
the audience is going to clap to this, you know? This is amazing.
Yeah.
But it's like the experience of it is just so opposite that it's like, yuck. And what's funny is that it points out the participation and the going along with. It says, they're just going to laugh at you. They're going to take advantage of you. They're mm-hmm. you. And when I end up doing it, and I've got tons of energy, I'm moving around, I'm inspired, and of course it's lying.
Of course it's lying. Yeah, has it ever been our experience that whenever we're in the presence of anybody that's got lots of energy and is moving around, that, you know, we're...
Absolutely.
You know, not also inspired. And
oh, my God, yeah. I mean, one of my favorite memories here at the monastery is just having this experience. We're just all doing cleanup in the kitchen, and it's like at this pace and whatever like that, and, you know, just... and then someone comes by and just like... You know, starts to really go at it, and it's like all of a sudden I feel like, that was like fun.
Yeah, I know that place.
And all of a sudden, it's just amazing.
It is amazing.
That I can get tapped into. Thinking that, one minute my perspective is, this is drudgery, this is horrible, and next it's like, I want to do it.
It just comes back, doesn't it, to, what's been shared this morning, just the incredible cruelty of the system.
Yeah.
That would just want to convince a being that with that beautiful, jewel or whatever, that they have to share that expression of life, but somehow be, not good enough or something to be hidden, or blown up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, turn over to conditioning to manage in a way, rather than just allowing life to express it.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
I guess I have a willingness of it to share, and because it feels like I'm afraid I'm going to make something into a story that's really not a story. Mm-hmm. But anyway. This experience a few weeks ago, I'm having this body challenge, and I couldn't sleep, and it was to the point where I wouldn't sleep for 3 nights in a row, or maybe only sleep an hour each night, and so it was very, very challenging, because I was getting so sleep deprived that I felt fragile and vulnerable, and it felt like almost anything could, just knock me over, And at first I was kind of panicking about it, but then at some point something kicked in where I got it, that the only way to survive it was to be present.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I could get through those days was to be really present. And I became acutely aware of conditioning because I didn't have the energy for it. I couldn't really indulge it. It just was too much. And so it was just like, I got it, but I couldn't go there, And so, and then it was kind of magical, because then it started turning into these really beautiful days, even though I was sleep deprived, because I was having to stay so present. And so I feel like there's been, it's gotten better with the sleep, because I've gotten a lot more present, I think, has helped the body issue, and I'm sleeping a lot better now. But I'm very hesitant to go off on conditioned tangents, that I used to be very willing to indulge. And so it's been interesting, because, right now with the content of life, there's lots of new things, and it feels like there's lots of things that I can't, I don't know if I can do or not, or that I'm supposed to be responsible for. I think I am. And because I don't know how that is. But it's funny, I'm not doing my usual processes around that. Because usually it would be like, okay, I'd be sitting here right now thinking about what I was going to do on the plane in order to, which projects I was going to do. And I'd be like strategizing all the time, but I'm just not willing to do that anymore. And so it's funny, because I keep thinking, I don't have to do all that. I can just trust that life will inform me. And it feels like I could kind of stay in that, but then every so often I get the message of, are you sure? maybe you should start your planning and all, but so far it just seems like I don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm. And so you had, it sounds like, what was really an incredible gift of this opportunity to really see the energy expenditure that conditioning extracts to run its stories, and to just being in that place for a while where you knew that you didn't have that money in the bank to spend, you know, there was just, and to now, it sounds like it's carried over, even though you are getting enough sleep, that to really be looking at, is this how I want to spend my energy?
Yeah, because it's interesting, because, you know, it's like having the body as a tool now to see conditioning in a way I hadn't really known. Because it seemed in the past like that part didn't matter. Mm-hmm. The impact of conditioning on the body was irrelevant, really.
Yeah.
I wasn't really aware of that. Mm-hmm. But now I'm very aware of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though I'm out of the crisis, like I'm sleeping, I still want my body to heal, and so I still want to pay attention to that. And so now I can feel it. As soon as I get in the story, I feel it. I feel the impact on my body. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa.
Wow.
You know, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I can see that for me, myself, you know, how most of us go through life and just, and do not think, like you said, of the impact of conditioning on the body, and then we age and get older, and then it's like, oh my gosh, you know, feeling that toll of that constant energy drain.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it gave me a different level of willingness, you know, for that reason, but then it's almost like as soon as I got that level of willingness, I tapped into something really bigger,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's not really just about saving the body, because, you know, part of that's not sleeping. I mean, it really just felt so, I don't know, scary, really. And so it felt like I also had to kind of, like, deal with the fact, well, one day, because, you know, finally I just realized, well, one day I'm going to die anyway, so why don't I just practice just taking care of myself and be willing to have whatever happens happen. And so I feel like that's also helped me let go in a lot of places in life, like, you know, just try to be present, try to take care of myself, try to, you know, be present to everything, and then whatever happens, happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like a great deal of acceptance.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know, it's really interesting. I feel, it's like now I feel grateful for having that experience of not
mm-hmm.
sleeping,
mm-hmm.
because I felt like it helped me wake up a lot.
It's perfect. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So the little girl is told that the open bones, bland, tasteless.
So when the real dish is offered, it's
from the authentic place.
So part of the I mean,
she's been duped into thinking it's all
right. It's in order to be
something she doesn't really want.
Yeah.
She has to take that because I mean it's really the right person.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That being the right person, having the right life is going to be bland, and being the right person isn't the right, but you know, that there is no other, that's the best life's going to have to offer her is bland oatmeal, and finding out that actually from an authentic place, it's far from bland oatmeal. It's what she's always dreamed of having.
So helpful. I don't know if this is what June was saying for her, but I look at the oatmeal and I think it's bland. and so I don't taste it. Mm-hmm. But when I do taste it, it's actually quite yummy. Mm-hmm. So my conditioned response, so I've been looking at this thing that, I don't know if this is what Alex was talking about either, but anyway, it's this, I would call it karma. You know, I'm a Christian, I really know what karma is, but if it's like this right in my back that views everything that I've chosen to do and puts its heels in. So, you know, the incessant push toward what I think I deserve. And I notice that it's really crunching down as I practice, do more of these things. Like, you know, I was talking the other night about, you know, recommitting to the, you know, practicing with commitment. Because I got duped, and I prides itself in being able to do things that are good for it. But it sort of just hunkers down and does them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I've just been doing I added back in all of my little practices, and just am doing the email class over. And the new one as soon as, I don't know if it's come out, I haven't checked my email, but... And as I do that, there's just this dissatisfaction that is settling into my back that won't let me, I mean, I have pretty tasty oatmeal. I mean, so I don't know if this is what June was saying. I hate to steal her analogy, but it's Christmas at my house. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a tree up. The kids are so cute. They're so into everything, and all of them still believe in Santa, including Clara. I think she's holding on desperately. She said, she, you know, and so it's really tasty oatmeal up there. I mean, it is fun, but there's this thing that so is not me, and I start believing that I have no power over, and that the mentor has no power, and that practice doesn't work. And it's like on this visceral level, you know, it feels like I'm a puppet, and it grabs me in the back, and it puts something in there, and it makes my face go down, and my eyes go together, and we walk around like this, you know. It's just fascinating. So what I've been doing is moving, you know, I'm really practicing with that sitting still stuff, you know, just because, you know, my airplane flight. So, you know, this is it. This is it. This is the thing. This internal thing that does that is the thing that I get to be. What I've always done, I think, is I wanted to get rid of it. Make it stop doing what it's doing to me. But now there's this, wow, this is it. You know, this is it. This, what is that? How does that get there?
Yeah, this curiosity, this, you know,
like, wow, that is powerful stuff.
Bring it on. I want to see it.
Yeah, it's sort of, I don't know if it's quite bring it on. But it's definitely similar to... You know, I have no alternative anymore. You know, I can either let it do this to me and believe what I've always believed. It's because of externals, I don't have, you know, PMS or whatever. I have made stories up my whole life about what creates that feeling in the body and sort of just survived it till it passes, Mercurian retrograde or whatever we think. But really, it's here now. It's here now. And it is coming between me and my tasty oatmeal. You know, I can, it tells me lies.
Lies.
It tells me lies. And it really seems to be starting in the body. And it says things too. It uses me and so it'll joke about things. So it said, slipped something out the other night about screaming at my kids. But the truth is, I don't actually do that much anymore. Not since the retreat, you know, my smiling meditation and my practices, and I mean, in the shower the other day, I was screaming at everybody, but you know, it was, the doors were closed, and they couldn't, and they were out there screaming at each other. That's what I was screaming at them. They don't really have too much going about screaming negative like I do in my head. But anyway, it tells me things about me that aren't true. And then it tells me things about my life that aren't true. And if I'm believing it, I'm missing.
It sounds so similar to what was shared earlier, Alex. You're swallowing the nitroglycerin.
Yes, oh, totally. And you're, I can very much
and you're blowing
that.
Up, you know.
And it talks me into swallowing that nitroglycerin, the blood, whatever, anyway. And it tells me it's going to work.
Right.
You know, just frown a little bit more, and they will be, they'll get in line and be happy. I mean, my sister, but the thing is, it does not, so I was talking to my sister one time, and, you know, it's my twin sister, and I'm like, oh my, anyway, I was saying something about the kids, be quiet or whatever, and my sister reflects to me, she's like, yeah, tell them to stop laughing and having fun, because that's essentially what I was saying, can you stop laughing and having fun, so that I can have the life that I think is going to make us all be happy. It's just completely backwards. But left to my own brain, without saying it out loud or hearing Sangha talk, I believe it's true. And there are a lot of people out there that would tell me it's true. You have to be really careful who you talk to. Because they'll tell you what you're believing is real. Yeah, the kid, you know, if Sophie just hadn't been walking her doll in church and David hadn't been banging or in the front row this morning, you know, I wouldn't feel so ashamed. But it had nothing to do with them. I could have the opportunity to see that there's still this shame inside of me that has nothing to do with my externals. Mm-hmm. It has something to do with this thing that I'm not sure it is that gets me, well, you know, self-hatred, but you know, that gets me into believing things and creates sensations in my body. That's the one, that's the thing I think I'm most excited, the thing I learned from my airplane flight. People didn't hear me, 4 hours, seatbelt sight on, the whole time, no alternative but to practice. And I think what I took from that was that how to practice with body sensations, because for me they're so compelling. And all of them are, you know, the tired ones and the anxious ones and the irritated ones. They all are so attached, take me automatically to a story. And just how important it is to just practice. You know, pick up that recording, to do the things, even if I don't feel any result that conditioning tells me I should feel. This isn't working. Well, we're going to do it anyway. I don't know if it's working or not. On your knees. Onto the cushion. Read the thing. Keep the commitment. Up you go. You know, it's. I would much rather be my own puppeteer or have my mentor, my schedule, moving me along than
have the hateful puppeteer. That one that I'm feeling with the hand at your back just.
Yeah. Yes, and the thing I've been thinking about is, you know, this is like the deal. This is it. This is that thing that I really want to see through, because I think it's really the thing right now that's keeping me from being fully present in my life.
As you say, it keeps you from tasting the delicious
oatmeal.
That's, yeah.
Because even bland oatmeal, if you really taste it, I like bland, you know, raised in Texas, bland is good. So, you know, bland can taste really, it can be really filling, it can be really tasty. Because that is exactly what it would say. You have this regular life that you do every day with the 3 kids and the husband. It's really bland, you know. You need to be a monk. Look what you missed yesterday. You don't even know what you missed, but people are alluding to what I said. And you missed it because you have this husband and these 3 kids. It's their fault. completely forgetting that I had a fabulous day yesterday.
Right. The whole story that gets woven.
And, yes, and if when I lived in the monastery, it would create stories about what it's going to be like out there, completely keeping me from missing what was here.
Right.
Oh, but if you were out there, you could, You know, it is never going to let me be where I am unless I practice really hard.
Practice continually.
In the life, you know, the life, I was thinking about somebody going out, and I was remembering Sherry on a Zen Catholic retreat, and she would go to Mass, and she would sing along with those nuns. I mean, and then she'd come back and say how wonderful it was. And all the Catholics were like, you gotta be kidding. That's not the worst Mass we've ever been to. She would shake everybody's hand at the sign of peace. You know? She's just such a good model for wherever she is. You know, she's just in it. You know, so I was just thinking about wherever we are, being in it. You know, with my kids, if she's walking down the road, what are you doing? Oh, how's that rock? You know, there's just an ability to, I project. And since I'm projecting it, you know, that does mean it's possible.
Just that ability to be present to everything as it is and to just really...
Including that thing. What I always thought was, I can only be present if I go around that thing or over that thing or push that thing. But that thing is right here, right now.
Right.
Yeah. So let me go into that, too. Let me see, what does it feel like to frown and frumple all the time? I think I'll go experiment.
It's back to acceptance, you know, and just really opening to it and just exploring it and seeing how that feels versus how it feels to resist it and push it away.
And practice in the way I did this morning, because it was here this morning, and then Dave started talking about relaxing yesterday, and I thought, well, I'll just try that. And before I knew it, it was relaxed. Mm-hmm. It didn't have me anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll just do what you guys tell me.